Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 32, The Reunion. Text 13, we will also read 9, 10, 11, and 12. Tad. Darshanalada Viduta Red Ruja Manoratantam Shrutayo Yata Yayo Svair Uttariyai Kucha Kumkumankitair Achi Klipan Asanam Atma Bandave. Are those the sheets on top of the bed? Tadarshana Lada Viduta Ridruja. Manoratantam Shrutayo Yatayayo. Svaira Uttariyai Kucha Kumkumankitai. Achiklipan Asanam Atma Bandave. Tadarshanalada Viduta Ridruja. Manoratantam Shrutayo Yatayayo. Svaira Uttariyai Kucha Kumkumankitai. Achiklipan Asanam Atma Bandave. Tadarshanalada Viduta Ridruja. Manoratantam Shrutayo Yatayayo. Svaira Uttariyai Kucha Kumkumankitair. Achiklipan Asanam Atma Bandave.
Managers.
Him, Krishna. Darshana. Due to seeing. Alada. By the ecstasy. Vidurta. Driven away. Prit. In their hearts. Ruja. The pain. Manarata. Of their desires. Antam. The ultimate fulfillment. Shrutaya. The revealed scriptures. Yata. As. Yayo. They attained. Svai. With their own. Uttariyai, covering garments, Kucha, of their breasts, Kunkuma, with the vermilion powder, Ankitai, smeared, Achiklipan, they arranged, Asanam, a seat, Atma, of their souls, Bandave, for the dear friend. Translation. Their heartache vanquished by the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, the gopis, like the personified Vedas before them, felt their desires completely fulfilled. For their dear friend Krishna, they arranged a seat with their shawls, which were smeared with the kumkum powder from their breasts. There are some verses before, which we will read, beginning with verse 9, and then we'll read the purport of verse 13. Sarvastha Keshava Loka Paramotsava Nirvita Jahur Virahajam Tapam Pragyam Prapya Yatajana. All the gopis enjoyed the greatest festivity when they saw their beloved Keshava again. They gave up the distress of separation, just as people in general forget their misery when they gain the association of a spiritually enlightened person. Tabir viduta shokabir bhagavan achutovrita vyarocha tadikam tata purusha shaktibiryata. Encircled by the gopis, who were now relieved of all distress, Lord Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, shone forth splendidly. My dear King, Krishna thus appeared like the Supersoul, encircled by his spiritual potencies. Purport by our BBT commentators. The gopis are Lord Krishna's internal potency, and therefore when they were relieved and happy again, the Lord shone forth even more brilliantly than before, and his transcendental bliss increased. Krishna loves the gopis with pure transcendental love, and they love him in the same pure way. The whole affair, conducted on the transcendental platform, is inconceivable to those bound in material existence. Tasamadaya kalindya nirvishya pulinam vipu vikasat kunda mandara Surabhyanila Shatpadam Sharach Chandram Shu Sandoha Dwastadosha Tamashivam Krishnaya Hasta Tarala Chita Kamala Valuka. The Almighty Lord then took the gopis with him to the bank of the Kalandi, who with the hands of her waves had scattered piles of soft sand upon the shore. In that auspicious place, the breeze, bearing the fragrance of blooming kunda and mandara flowers, attracted many bees, and the abundant rays of the autumn moon dispelled the darkness of the night. And this verse we're focusing on today, text 13. Tadarshanalada viduta ridvijo manoritantam shrutayo yataya yum svar utariyai kujakunkamankatayar achiklapan asanam atma bandave. The heartache vanquished by the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, the gopis, like the personified Vedas before them, felt their desires completely fulfilled. For their dear friend Krishna, they arranged a seat with their shawls, which were smeared with the kumkum powder from their breasts. Purport. In the 87th chapter of this canto, text 23, the Shrutis, or personified Vedas, pray as follows. Striya uragendra bhoga bhuja danda visakta diyo Vayam apite sama samadri shongri saroja sudha. These women fully absorb their minds in meditation on Lord Krishna's powerful arms, which are like the bodies of great serpents. We want to become just like the gopis and render service to his lotus feet. The Shrutis had seen Krishna during his appearance in the previous day of Brahma and had become full of the most intense desire to associate with him. Then in this kalpa they became gopis. And since the Vedas are eternal in human society, the Shrutis in this kalpa also became full of desire for Krishna, and in the next kalpa will also become gopis. This information is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura. Tadarshana alara viduta rujo manoratantam shrutayo yatayayu svarutari yai kuchakunkamankatayar achiklapan asanam atma bandave. The heartache vanquished by the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, the gopis, like the personified Vedas before them, felt their desires completely fulfilled. For their dear friend Krishna, they arranged a seat with their shawls, which were smeared with the kumkum powder from their breasts. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Buddha Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapanatika Panchakalpatrubhya Strikripa Sanyubhya Vacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasthi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the special qualities of the gopis are being described, different special qualities, and how their possession of those special qualities, which of course is all based on their great advancement in Krishna consciousness, culminating in pure love for Krishna, all of this is enhancing their relationships with Krishna, and even enhancing Krishna. Even though Krishna is complete and completely perfect and completely independent and so on like this, and he is the reservoir of everything, but still, in the company of the gopis, particularly Srimati Radharani, but the gopis in general also. So, in their company, even though Krishna is Purnam Swagat, and so on and so forth, everything is there, nothing is lacking. But still, even Krishna becomes enhanced by his association with the gopis. I think we actually read something. Yes, in the verse we read on Sunday, the verse, one verse from Rig Parishishta, the supplement to the Rig Veda, was quoted. Radhaya Madhavo Devo Madhavenaiva Radhika Vibrajante Janishu. Among all persons, it is Sri Radha, in whose company Lord Madhava is especially glorious, as she is especially glorious in his company. So like this, everything becomes most wonderful and overflows beyond the boundaries of perfection, glory, beauty, completeness. Everything goes into another dimension, which is purely transcendental, dimension which cannot be measured or approached even by mundane consciousness. Mundane consciousness is so foolish that, as has been mentioned in a few places and purports in this chapter, that how regrettable it is that the non-devotees cannot approach these subject matters properly, but at the same time they don't have the intelligence or the type of intelligence to approach these subject matters properly, and on top of that they don't have the intelligence to understand they don't have the intelligence, so they try anyway. And when they do, then it just becomes a mess. Yes. Srila Prabhupada once was in some gathering with some scholars, intellectuals, and there was some discussion on Bilva Mangal Thakur's, the Bilva Mangal Thakur, Krishna Kanamrita, yeah, which describes very intimate interactions between Lord Krishna and the gopis, and one of these big intellectuals, famous for his writings and speakings on these subjects, amongst other mundane people, he came up to Prabhupada and, in a sort of, you could say, knowing way, as if he was in on some secret, he said, "Ho, ho, not a subject for brahmacharis, is it?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Actually, only brahmacharis should read this." Meaning, brahmachari, brahma, acha, the one who is on the platform of Brahma. This is what brahmachari really means. Yes, otherwise, if it's a matter of some sort of idea of frivolous male-female exchanges, then everything is spoiled, terribly spoiled. And the whole point is missed, and the person is simply catapulted into the lower regions. But if we can understand, if we can just get a little understanding, and of course these pastimes are so deep, there are so many aspects that practically a book could be written on each verse. But if we can just get a little understanding in the right way, from the right source, Srila Prabhupada, then we'll be able to appreciate, begin to appreciate, and begin to see the transcendental richness and transcendental beauty which is there, which is so amazing that if one is able to contact it properly, nicely, then it will sweep away one's material existence, all one's material attachments developed over millions of lifetimes, all the karma accumulated over millions of lifetimes, everything finished just by some proper understanding of one verse, just the beginning of a proper understanding of one verse. And just on that basis, one can leave the material world and material consciousness behind and return to the transcendental abode. This is the perfection of life. And beyond that, there's nothing more to know. Beyond that, there's nothing more to gain. In fact, it is a gain beyond the capacity of most people, even in certain respects, even ourselves. It is a gain even certainly beyond our capacity to very clearly understand or very completely understand. So different subject matters are touched on in these verses and two purports. One is in the first verse, which doesn't have a purport, but still it's an interesting point, that the gopis, when Lord Krishna again presented himself, came in front of them, then their distress was mitigated and they felt complete relief from that blazing fire of separation, and they felt satisfied again, more and more. So the verse says they gave up the distress of their separation just as people in general forget their misery when they gain the association of a spiritually enlightened person. Well, this is people in general means devotee type or pious, you know, that type of people in general. And even materialistic people, if they're not too sinful and they get very nice association, then perhaps this is how Krishna consciousness spreads, they feel the benefit of that association with the devotees, and on the basis of that they become inspired for Krishna consciousness. But there's very nice description in Bhakti Ratnakara of how Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, but particularly Sanatan, would travel around Vrajmandala on Vrajmandal Parikrama. Again and again, he'd just wander around, sometimes following a particular path, sometimes just wandering as he felt, as the inspiration took him. But a lot of the time that he was there in Vrajmandala, he was doing like this, basically, moving around, visiting the holy places, passing through the villages, meeting the bridge buses, and so on. So there's very nice description there how, or basically what his program was, that he would come around and walk through the day, and in the afternoon he would arrive in one village. Of course, he had been to that village before, because as we said, this was his program, going around again and again and again. So again and again for many years, again and again, he'd pass through the same villages and meet the same people and get to know them. And they would know who he was. So he would arrive in the afternoon and the word would spread around the village that Sanatan Goswami has arrived. And the whole village would stop. Everything would stop. Whatever was happening would stop. The men working in the fields, the children in school, the ladies in the houses, and everything, everyone, everything would stop. They would just run out to greet him, just crying out, calling out, Sanatan, Sanatan. And they would just surround him and just sit him down and just start a program. And that would be it. That was it. Program would go on into the evening. And then, at some point, Sanatan Goswami would start meeting them individually. So he would meet everyone. The queue would be there. And it would just be all night. All night. He would meet one person, then the next, until he had met the entire village. And because he was going around so much and meeting them so often, and because he was so extremely intelligent, he would remember everyone. And so he would remember the person's name and what the person's situation was from before, who they were married to, who their children were, what their occupation was, what the names of the cows were, what the names of their oxen were, if they were growing a particular crop. And so he would then make all relevant inquiries and give guidance in all details of that individual's life, and then the next one, and same thing. In this way, Sanatan Goswami was the spiritual master and guide of all the bridge vessels. All of the bridge vessels in the whole Braj Mandala. And he would give, of course, being such a great devotee and so intelligent, and what to speak of experienced in life and expert in interpersonal dealings and so on. Just such an extremely qualified person in all respects, that he would give such guidance that the people would feel the impact of it and the benefit of it. So then they would go back and just feeling fixed up in the instructions of Sanatan Goswami. So this went on all night, the entire night. And then the next morning he would leave, having not slept, and just walk through the day to the next village. And then next village, same thing. Exactly the same thing. And sometimes where there were big villages, it's described, then things would go on through the first, through the night, through the next day, through the next night. No one would go to sleep. They would just be there in the program, having the darshan and serving him, and the whole village would just be completely absorbed in Sanatan Goswami. And when he would leave the village, well, sometimes they wouldn't let him go. They would never want him to go, of course. And sometimes they would not let him go. They would just hold on to him. They just would stop him from going, even physically. And if not physically, at least with their heartfelt entreaties and appeals, please don't go, they would keep him like that. So it was a very amazing situation. And this was just going on all the time with Sanatan Goswami. So this is in the context of what is stated here. All the gopis enjoyed the greatest festivity when they saw their beloved Keshava again. They gave up the distress of separation, just as people in general forget their misery when they gain the association of a spiritually enlightened person. Of course, particularly the devotees, like the householders who have to work and deal with materialistic people on the materialistic level, business interactions and working under some boss and all that, then they all feel, when they get the association of the devotees, they'll also feel very nice relief. And as we said, even the materialistic people, who are simply materialistic, if they have nice interaction with devotees, Srila Prabhupada would say that when we are distributing books on the street, we meet someone. And when that, if that person, if we speak nicely and the person becomes absorbed in the interaction, then the person enters a Vaikuntha bubble. And in that Vaikuntha bubble, with the devotee, speaking to the devotee, they're in another world, a happy world. And they take the book, and then they walk away out of the Vaikuntha bubble, and suddenly they're back on the street again with the book. And they may wonder, wait, what happened? And sometimes I remember, actually, on many occasions, the person's walking down the street looking at the book, and they stop and turn around and look at us and look at the book. Sometimes things like this may happen. So even the materialistic people, very just ordinary materialistic people, this happens also. Association is so powerful and important. So the gopis, even on their most exalted, the supreme transcendental platform, they experienced the same thing when they saw Krishna again. So then, yes, in the next verse, which has short purport, the gopis, well no, Krishna. When Krishna was encircled by the gopis, who are feeling so enlivened and excited and joyful, then Krishna shone forth splendidly. In this way, Krishna thus appeared like the super soul encircled by his spiritual potencies, or even more than the super soul. So the gopis are the spiritual potencies of the Lord. And so whatever conditions the potencies are in, the possessor of the potencies obviously will also be participating in that. Just like we have potencies. We have physical strength, mental strength, and so on, to differing degrees. And someday if we exert ourselves physically very, very much, then at the end of the day our physical energies are depleted. And then we feel it. Or similarly our mental energies, sometimes if we have to make some big, big mental effort, like sitting some big exam or something like that, then at the end we feel, we need to take a little break. So the potencies, the gopis, they're now feeling especially exhilarated, most extremely happy and gloriously joyful. So when they were feeling like that, then Krishna also, because they're his potencies, they're directly part of his person, of himself. So Krishna shone forth even more beautifully and splendidly. Like this, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very nice description of how the gopis want to please Krishna. And so, therefore, they decorate themselves in many ways. They try to dress with nice clothes, use nice cosmetics, and ornaments, and garlands, and whatnot. And even they can sit in front of the mirror for hours, just decorating in this way, that way, these gopi dots, no, these ones, no, some other design, or whatever it may be. These bangles, no, these bangles, no, these bangles, and, you know, just the whole thing they go through. Simply thinking, what mood will Krishna be in? What will it really fit in with that mood and enhance that mood and be most suitable, and these types of thoughts dominating their minds, completely controlling their minds, 100% absorbed in thinking like this. And then finally they go out to meet Krishna, and they meet him, and Krishna sees them dressed and decorated so beautifully. And then Krishna, of course, understanding and feeling that this is not just their vanity, that they want to make themselves look nice to somehow or other catch him, but he understands and he feels that this is actually a manifestation of their desire to please me. And so then seeing that and feeling that, then he becomes pleased by their desire to please him. So in this way he becomes enhanced, just as a person who is not happy, but when they become happy, then they become bright-faced, and the face is the index of the mind, they say, and so their whole being reflects their happy mood. So Krishna externally reflects that happiness he is feeling, seeing how much they are trying to please him. And when the gopis see this, and they see, oh, actually, when Krishna looked at us, he became happier, then they become happier, understanding that they have actually succeeded in pleasing Krishna. So they become happier, and then their beauty increases, and Krishna sees that increase and becomes happier. And so, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that in this way there is a transcendental competition between the gopis and Krishna, and it is never ending. And it is not just a matter of some material skill in decoration and, you know, Christian Dior or whatever the latest cosmetics and fashions and expensive jewelry and so on. All these things. One devotee was telling me yesterday, she saw in a shop, it is a suitcase kind of thing, like a bigger suitcase, not antique, current, and just very, exotic. And how much? I won't ask you to take a guess. 270,000 rand for a suitcase. Okay. This is called insanity. If anyone buys it, whatever. So it's not just a question of material expert in decoration, fashion, design, cosmetics, ornamentation, jewelry, and so on. Because even when Krishna initially played on his flute under the Vamsivat tree by the Yamuna the first night during the Kartik month, Sharad season, Sharad Purnima, Krishna played on the flute and the gopis understood, he's calling us. So they were doing different things, and some of them were in the process of decorating themselves, but they did not complete their decorations. They just dropped everything, whatever they were doing, including decorating or doing family service. They just dropped everything and ran. And it's explained there in the Bhagavatam how they just quickly grabbed everything that they could get their hands on and ran. And some of them, somehow, they had, putting mascara or something like that on the eye. They had done one eye. The other eye was plain. So, I suppose this is very you know, like not done in the world of fashion. It would look very strange. Certainly wouldn't look nice. Even some of them, they put the top part of their clothes on the bottom part of their bodies, and the bottom part of their clothes on the top part of their bodies, which, if you think about it, is really, really something most extraordinary. And they just came running out. But Krishna didn't tell them, look at you. You are unpresentable. Go back and dress yourselves properly and finish your decorations. He just accepted them. And he was happy. And the same thing happened of that exchange of increasing beauty, Krishna increasingly pleased, and so on back and forth. So like this, everything was most wonderful in that transcendental exchange when they initially met. And then in this verse 13, the mention is made of the personified Vedas, that in the previous day of Brahma, they saw Krishna. They saw Krishna. When Krishna appeared during that day of Brahma, they saw him. They are around the personified Vedas. They are great, important personalities on the universal level. So they see these things. They saw Krishna when he appeared. And they became attracted in that conjugal way. And they spoke this prayer, which is quoted here. It's from the 87th chapter of the 10th canto, which is apparently, it seems, it is the personified Vedas speaking in the previous day of Brahma, actually. And then now, they actually appeared as gopis. So now they are there amongst the gopis as one of the groups of the gopis. And then, as is stated here, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur makes the point that seeing the Vedas are eternal, the Shrutis in this kalpa, the personified Vedas in this kalpa, this day of Brahma, because now those ones from the previous day of Brahma, they're now gopis. They're not the personified Vedas. But now, of course, in this day of Brahma, there are personified Vedas, because they have to be. There are always personified Vedas in the universe. So in this day of Brahma also, then this group of personified Vedas will also, or have also, observed Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan, and have also, the same thing has happened to them. They've also become full of desire to associate with Krishna and serve Krishna. To serve Krishna in the same way as the gopis. Observing how Krishna, with his long serpent-like arms, how he gets such great pleasure by embracing the gopis. So when the personified Vedas see that, then they feel, look, see how happy Krishna is. We would like to make him happy like that. He is a lot happier being served like that than he is by hearing our Shruti mantras. The Shruti mantras means basically mantras from the four Vedas, which are often not so transcendental. Generally, it's Karma Kandiya. Most of it's Karma Kandiya. And Krishna, and even if there is like some transcendental elements, which are there in some places, but in many cases where there are transcendental elements, then they're in that mood of awe and reverence and appreciation in that sense, and not a more elevated expression of purer love. So when the Shrutis saw how Krishna was pleased when his serpent-like arms embraced the gopis, then they thought, oh, we could please Krishna more, because they're devotees, of course. They're devotees. We want to please Krishna. We could please him more if we served him in this way. So let us become gopis. We want to become gopis and please the Lord more. And we won't worry about all these Vedic hymns and Shruti mantras. Let someone else chant them. Lord Brahma, he will arrange for that. We don't need to worry. Just like sometimes devotees have some service, but then they become attracted to doing some other service, and they just change. And the poor old authorities have to deal with the service which has been abandoned. The devotee thinks, oh, it's okay, that's the authority's service. They have to make the arrangements, so let them make the arrangements. So the Shrutis, they felt like that. So they became gopis, and they are. And that group, who are the Shrutis in this day of Brahma, they're also feeling exactly the same way, and next day of Brahma, they'll also be gopis. So in these ways, the transcendental pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan are going on. Any comments or questions?
You mentioned about Sanatana Goswami knowing all the residents of Raj personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking in relation to us, Krishna said to the Bhagavad Gita, from weak hearing to listen to forget thoughts. So what does a person's karma have to do with his ability to remember or help?
Well, if his karma is such, then Krishna, who is the overseer and permitter, will see that he doesn't get so much remembrance. But if his karma is in another way, then Krishna will see he gets a better or different type of memory. And if one is a devotee and is really trying to be Krishna conscious and use one's intelligence to serve Krishna nicely, then Krishna will, whatever the karma is, Krishna will give more intelligence. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Okay.